Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
I'm going to preach to you today on the subject of the power of expectation. The power of expectation. I like what Rod Parsley said many years ago, that the atmosphere of expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. And if you will expect, I believe that God will show up and meet you where you're expecting Him to meet. You know, for whatever reason, we have gotten away from expecting God to move in our situation. Expecting God to meet us. Expecting God to be with us. But I still expect God. I expect Him when I'm going through trouble and trial. I expect Him when I'm having a great day, and I expect Him when I'm not having such a great day. I expect God to show up. Why? And it's not a entitlement. I just expect God because He said I could. See, there's a difference with entitlement and expectation. Entitlement says, I deserve this, therefore you should. Expectation is, you said so, therefore I should. He said that I could expect Him to show up every time and make the crooked place straight. Come on, somebody. So today I want to share with you a time-tested, well-documented way of connecting with the burden-removing power of Almighty God. In the book of Mark, go there with me, is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Mark chapter 5, verse 24 is where we'll start. When you get there, say amen. If you're not going there, say amen anyway. It says, Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, the issue of blood. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. How many know what she's talking about right there? That's why they call it practicing medicine. And over the years, she had spent all or everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard, I want you to underline that, she had heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? Everybody understand that? I mean, in Florida English, that's, what? Who touched you? Do you see everybody around you, Jesus? Pastor, they didn't talk to Jesus that way. I don't know. I just think they might have. They're friends. Are you kidding me? That's what it said. I'm just reading it in Florida English. But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. I think somebody needs to lift up a hand and go, my suffering's about to be over. Your suffering is over. Whatever you've been suffering with, I declare in the name of Jesus that my suffering is about to be over. Whether it be financial, emotional, marital, whatever it may be, I'm believing that my suffering is about to be over. Physical healing. Whatever it is that you're in need of today, my suffering is over. Thank you, musicians. Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word today. That God, that you would do what I am unable to do, and that is apply the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we preach and as we pray, as we have sung, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to go out throughout this congregation and this stage. And Lord, let us know that we have been in your presence in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now, if you've been in any church in any length of time, thank you, musicians, you've heard the story hundreds of times, possibly thousands of times, of this healing virtue, this power that has healed this woman. However, don't let the power of it slip past you. Notice a few things about this woman's condition. And in some ways, you can look at your own life and make a parallel of where you are and where she was. She had suffered for 12 years with the King James Version calls it an issue of blood, which is a constant bleeding. She had this constant bleeding. Now, she suffered a great deal from many doctors. I mean, understand that, man, you go to doctor after doctor after doctor. My wife had a sinus infection for several times a year. And she finally went to a ear, nose, and throat specialist. And he said, you don't have any sinus trouble. We never went back to him. Because we said, you're an idiot. I said, well, you know, all these other doctors have said you have this. And you go, no, you don't have that. Well, what do we have? It ain't that. Well, what is it? It's nothing. All right, then put that on my bill. Nothing. You found nothing, therefore we owe you nothing. But that didn't work. So she did this, and she was that way for many years. I know that there are people in here today that have suffered with ailments in your body. My wife suffered for 10 years with migraines, and it wasn't a matter of if she had a headache, it was a matter of how bad was it today. That was, and I found myself asking her, not how are you feeling, how bad is it today? And for 10 years she went through this, and many didn't know it, but some of you that were close to us knew about it. But she had suffered everything, and she, this woman in our story, had suffered and paid all these doctors, lost all of her everything that she owned, but had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Now this is, if there is a horror story out there, this is a horror story. And here's what I know, because I'm your pastor, some of you are living this horror story even right now. That you have done everything that you know to do, but have not gotten any better. But let's look behind the scenes a little bit. What isn't written, what was just as bad, is for 12 years, she was considered by everyone around her as unclean. Now, not only does she have this sickness, but now she is ostracized by society, and she can't even come to church because she's unclean. Now, how would it be for you to be isolated by yourself and sick and not able to have anybody pray with you or pray for you or comfort you? Can I tell you that's what the devil wants to do in your life? That he does want to isolate you. He does want to keep you from the house of God, because he recognizes that in the house of God is your comfort. In the house of God is your help. So he wants to do that for you. But this woman was considered unclean. This continual bleeding, this continually regarded in Jewish law as, I'm going to try to say, nida, or menstruating woman, or ceremonial unclean. And in order to be regarded as clean, the flow of blood would need to stop for at least 7 days. And because of the constant bleeding, this woman lived in a continual state of uncleanness, which would have brought her social and religious isolation, would have said, we can't associate with her because she's unclean. But that's just what the devil wants to do, is cause you to be isolated from everybody. And what the world may call unclean, Jesus says, my blood can touch you one drop and make you clean. Come on, somebody. Her situation was painful in every conceivable way. It was painful physically. It was painful financially. It was painful emotionally. It was painful socially. And it was painful spiritually. Because can I tell you that the devil, when he has you by yourself, has the ability to outwit and outplay you. And so that's why you need people in your life who can speak the word of God and speak truth into your life and cause you to still get up. Can I get a good amen? But point number one is simply this, is that yet it changed. Yet her situation changed. It was this way for 12 years, but however, I want everybody to hear me that whatever it is that you may be going through, it has an expiration date. I don't know when it is. I don't know where it is, but there is an expiration date that says this too shall pass. And yet it changed. But it didn't change until something happened to her. It changed when she heard. She heard about Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And when she began to hear about Jesus, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I believe that I will be whole. Hearing. You need to hear the word of God. Hearing means to hear with understanding, to give attention, to yield. How many understand this? Every woman in this place understands this part. We can hear without understanding. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Honey, did you hear me? I heard you. I just chose not to yield to it. Or to obey. Or to submit to follow. Everybody that has children, understand what I'm talking about. Did you hear what I said? I heard what you said. I just chose not to obey it. I heard what you said, but I chose not to yield. I heard what you said, but I will not submit to follow. But if you're going to hear and get what God is telling you that you can have, then you've got to yield to what he says, which simply means to submit and or to follow. Because what you hear determines your direction. Don't preach before I get ready to preach. What that means that you, if you hear what God is saying, then it changes or determines your direction. And you need to understand this, church, that this isn't background noise. It's not Charlie Brown going, wah, 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 wah. No, it's not background noise. You need to hear what God is saying. This is giving attention to what it, to with the intent to do. I'm listening so that I will be able to do. You know, I think about this as I fly and as I'm, I like, even though I got Oompa Loompa legs, I like the exit rows. And when I get on the exit row, the stewardess comes and tell, I don't think that's politically correct anymore. The flight attendant comes and tells us, you know, are you willing to do these? And she tells us what to do. And I'm thinking, I hope everybody else is listening. Because if we go down, I need them to get them doors open for me. I hope they listening. But when it is important to you, you listen to the direction. If anybody wants to talk while you're trying to learn something new, hey, shut up. I'm listening. Right? I remember when my dad was alive, he would, every Christmas, I tell this story every Christmas Eve, he would read the gospel story and talk to the grandkids. And some of my adult my adult in-laws, and mainly preachers, the two preachers in my family that are not brothers, huh? I'm calling them out. The two preachers would be in there talking, and I say, "Hey, shut up. Pastor, you was like that?" "Yeah, I was. I ain't got time to be quiet and polite. I just say, hey, zip it." And they go, "Oh." Because I want the grandkids to hear what Paw was saying. I want the grandkids to hear the direction of Paw. That it ain't just Santa Claus. It's about Jesus and him being born. I wanted them to hear. Listen, if you knew that if you didn't follow these instructions, you were going to get shot in the face. Everybody in here, shut up. And you would listen with intent in order to do and or have or not have what they said you could have. If we were to focus on the Word of God, like we focus on some of the instructions of other things, we would be so much better off. But some of us don't focus on the Word of God because we really don't want to change. And if you're Pentecostal, you're in a Pentecostal church, but if you're Pentecostal, sometimes if you've been raised in Pentecost, it's a detriment to you because all you want is the Holy Ghost to come in and whiz around and knock people out and poof the magic dragon, there you are. But there is a part for you to do and a part for the Holy Spirit to do. We don't want increase and we don't want improvement because if we did, we would focus on the instruction. Now, I don't know how many men will be willing to say, when I put something together, I don't read the instructions until after I can't figure it out. Come on, all men. Come on, men. How about women? How about, yeah. Now, here's what my wife does. My wife puts stuff together even better than I do. But she don't read the instructions. She puts it together like her daddy did with the pictures. And when it don't work, then she goes, "Honey, can you fix it?" Says, "It's going to cost you more now." And I have to go read the instructions and undo what she did and put it together correctly. Right? Listen, you've tried it your way. It didn't work. Why don't you try it God's way? But before you try it God's way, don't just find a picture Bible, but look at the instructions of the Word of God and begin to read the fine print to know that this part goes here, and if you do this, this comes, and if you do that, that's coming. If you, whatever the case may be, you got to understand that. I mean, this ain't no newfangled, untested, untried method. This is time tested. It works in every land, every people, who've ever obeyed it. See, this thing, the Bible, it doesn't just work here in America. This is not American religion. Because I don't call it a religion. It's a relationship. And if you have a relationship, whether you're in Nigeria, or you're in Cuba, or China, or the States, it still works. That's the gospel. Can you say amen? Amen? Now, this woman heard, and what she heard caused her to risk, which gives me what you hear determines your direction. Now, Mark 5:24 or 5:28 says, "For she thought, if I could just touch his garment, I will get well." Thought. The Greek word is lego, which means to say things spoken. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Which brings me to point number two is this. I believed, therefore I spoke. See, the problem is most people try to speak into their belief. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. You can kick your heels together until you wear them out. That ain't gonna matter. So the problem with this name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, that where we've got off course, and therefore we don't want to talk about that doctrine, is that they said things that they don't believe. That's why it doesn't work. Just because you say it doesn't mean that it's true. Just because you say it doesn't mean you believe it. But if you will begin to believe, therefore you speak. Somebody needs to hear me. Well, Pastor, how does that happen? Sometimes you do have to speak and then believe. But it ain't going to happen until you begin to believe what you are speaking. I'm just good preaching, Pastor. In order to be saved, I must believe in my heart. Confess with my mouth. But believe in my heart. How? Why are you saved, Ronnie? It's not because I'm good enough. It's not because that I do all the right things. I try, but it is not because of that. I am saved because I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, and what He did, I am a recipient of what He did, so therefore I speak that I am saved because of what He did on the cross. In order to activate my faith, I must believe in my heart and then confess with my mouth. If I just touch the garments, I will get well. Now well, the word well there is a Greek word called zozo. And it means to be made well, to be cured, to recover, to restore. And the Bible said in 5:27, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind Him and touched His cloak. Now, I read what she did may have been a stonable offense. Because she was in the crowd touching many different people. And her being unclean in the Jewish custom would be a stonable offense. So she was willing to risk what she needed to get what she wanted. Did you hear that? She was willing to risk what she needed to get what she wanted. But most of us won't do that. Here in American church, we have an altar call. But we'll stay in our seat. Lord, I want healed, but I want it done my way. You think you're Frank Sinatra? I did it my way. No, baby, it ain't your way. You think you're Burger King. I'll have it my... No, special orders do upset us. Lord, I want you to heal me, but I want to be cute while you heal me. Lord, I want to worship you, but I want to worship you cute. Woo, look at me worship. Don't I look cute? It ain't about cute. When you start wanting what you need more than you're worried about what other people think or what other people see, then you're ready for the miracle to take place. You're ready to touch Jesus. I've had people tell me before, Pastor, I wish I could worship like you. Like, well, what? It's easy. You know, I don't know of anybody more free to worship than Vicky. She just waltzes everywhere after. Stay in your lane, Vicky. But she's free, right? I wish some of us would get more free. I wish some of us would get to the point that we're not worried about what people say, because what we need is more important than what others are saying. Now, if somebody in authority says something, then do what they ask. But anyway, here's the deal, man. If your faith never moves you to risk, did you hear that? If your faith never moves you to risk, Well, let's just say you might not be living a biblical faith. I'm not, Pastor, you ought not judge. I didn't judge. I said you might not be. But if you never risk, well, I like sure things. Well, then you like Jesus because he is a sure thing. Hallelujah. Mark 5:29 says this. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of her affliction. Point number three is faith always involves risk. If it wasn't risk, you didn't need faith. Now, here, I'm not saying blind faith that you just step out of, well, God, here's what I'm going to do. I believe you're going to just bless it. That's not biblical. You step out on what he said. When Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on H2O, it was the fact that he stepped out when Jesus said, come. I don't believe he would have ever walked on water if he would have just said, I'm coming to Jesus, and just stepped out. No. Because it's a fact that you can't walk on water, but Jesus overcomes facts in your life. It's a fact that you've been diagnosed. It's a fact that you're broke. It's a fact. But Jesus steps in on his word, and he changes the facts in your life, because Jesus is bigger than the facts. He overcomes your facts. That's what my Jesus does. She heard about Jesus. She listened with the intention of obeying. She believed to the point of speaking and thinking. She laid it on the line by taking an active risk. Some folks want to be passive in their faith, but faith is active. Well, if Jesus wanted to heal me, he'd do it. He wants to. Well, if Jesus wanted to make me happy, he'd do it. You got something to do in it. The Bible said immediately Jesus perceived in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my garments? Now, proceeding from, I want you to hear this. Proceeding from means that he didn't direct it. When something proceeds out of you, he didn't direct it. Now here's where we got it mixed up in the word of faith, charismatic Pentecostal circles. Because we think, well, if they had enough power, and there's a part of that. Because remember the four friends who let the man down that ripped off the roof and let the man down? The Bible said because of their faith he was made whole. All right? So that's one side of it. But here's another side. She, anointing, healing, proceeded from him. He didn't direct it. She demanded it. She placed a demand on the anointing that was in him. She pulled out of him by her faith that I'm going to get what is mine, and power flowed from her. See, she became a conductor of God's power. You know, Rodney told me a story Friday or Thursday that I believe it was your brother or brother-in-law that was holding your ladder that day. Your brother? Brother-in-law. So the brother-in-law was holding the ladder for him, and he was up on the ladder, and they thought they had turned the power off on these power lines that he was working on, or this 110, and it shot through him, but the brother-in-law was holding on to the ladder, and it went through Rodney, and Rodney didn't even hardly feel it, but the boy holding the ladder realized that what had happened. He said, hey! Can I tell you that you need to hold the ladder? You need to grab a hold of what's holding you, baby. You better grab a hold of Jesus. I'm talking about reaching out and touching him and getting a hold of the horns of the altar. I'm talking about grabbing a hold of the power of God. I'm talking about reaching out and touching him. His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing you, and you say, who touched me? Listen, thousands of people people were touching him without making contact. Y'all hang on a minute. Thousands of people were touched, hundreds of people for sure, were touching him without contacting him. And today, there will be thousands of people who go to church and they will hear about Jesus without ever making contact with Jesus. I do not want to be one of those ones. I want to reach out and touch him. I want to make contact with Jesus today. I want to throw up my hands, draw back my voice, throw it up in the air and say, God, whatever you have for Ronnie Reed today, I'm going to take, matter of fact, if it ain't even for Ronnie Reed, if you dishing it out, I want it in the name of Jesus. See, curiosity. Why didn't the rest of the crowd tap in to this power? See, have you ever been to a church service and everybody getting blessed but you? Everybody's dancing around, just crying, worshiping God, whoo, hollering, hooping. And you're like, what is this? Well, they're just so emotional. That's one I hear all the time. I love Jesus, but y'all just emotional. Well, I get emotional about stuff I love. I love when FSU beats Gators. Woo! Love it when Alabama beats everybody. Woo! Roll Tide, baby. I love it. But then you want to talk about me, that the man that came in and saved me from the life that I was living, that gives me peace in my mind, to know without a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die today, to be absent from this body is to be present with my Father. And then you want me to stay silent? There's no way, because Jesus loved me before I was ever lovable. So, Lord, why did so many people not get their healing in that crowd? Here's why: because they were curious, but not expectant. They were curious, but not expectant. See, curiosity will make you part of the crowd. Expectation will part the crowd. Did you hear that? Curiosity will make you part of it, but expectation will part the crowd. I got to get back through all this. See, that's why, well, Pastor, I don't go to church because there's so many hypocrites. Then why do you go to the gym? There's so many hypocrites at the gym. I'm one of them. I go work out and come right out and eat a Snicker bar to get my strength back. Come on, somebody. I'm giving myself a fighting chance. I go in there, man, I'll look at, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Give me one of them sticker bars. Give me a king size. I don't even eat a regular sticker bar. They just make you mad. You need a big king size. That's right. The abundance of the Lord's is mine. That's right, baby. I'm a hypocrite. I go in there. But I still go. But you still go. But then we don't want to come to church because, well, listen, I don't. We've got a close to 150, 200 people in here tonight, this morning. And I promise you, not everybody came in here expecting. Why? Because if you did, I wouldn't have had to even get up here and preach. Some of you came hoping. Some of you came curious. Some of you came because you didn't have a choice. But if you'd have came expecting, they were curious. She was expectant. I love this. I love this quote by Smith Wigglesworth. He said, God will pass over 1,000 Christians just to get to one believer. Right. I don't want to just be labeled a Christian. I want to be labeled a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer that the Bible says what it says and it will do what it will do. I'm a believer that Jesus Christ can take the horrible. You know, yesterday I did a wedding for Joshua Daniel and Lauren Smith. And what a picture of redemption. You know, she was, and I don't know if she would, I won't tell you all the details, but all I can just say, she was incarcerated. She was strung out on drugs and alcohol. He was strung out on drugs and alcohol. Do you know him? You were strung out with him, wouldn't you? No? He used to be strung out. He's another story of redemption. I mean, come on, they just had his first child, biological child. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, baby. That's redemption. But man, it is such a view of what God can do. Amen. What God can do. Well, people that used to know Joe Franklin, people that used to know Josh and Lauren and even Jessica, but they're not the same people who they were. Why? Because they're not just curious about Jesus. They were expectant that Jesus could touch them and change their life, and He has. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing me. He said, who done this? He looked around to see the woman who had done this. Who done this? Nope, it was the woman. But the woman fearing and trembling. Why was she fearing? Because she risked and went into the crowd knowingly that she was unclean. And she came down and fell at the feet of Jesus. And He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. The demand that you put on me, Jesus gave credit to her faith. Your faith did this. Jesus, touch me. That's what we pray, right? And there ain't nothing wrong with praying that. But how about, Jesus, I'm going to touch you. I'm going to press through my feeling of unworthiness. I'm going to press through my insecurities. I'm going to press through me not knowing the Bible like I should. We're going to press. All she did was hear about Jesus. She didn't come to Jesus. Could you explain to me the theological version of how I'm going to get healed? Could you explain atonement to me? Could you explain how this flow that from your anointing to me, how that's going to work? And could you give me a outline of how that's going to... No, she just said, I heard that Jesus could heal me. I heard that power was in Him. And I put a demand on the anointing and I touched Him. He didn't touch me. He wasn't even looking at me. My God, somebody hear me. He didn't even know that I was in the crowd. But I knew that I knew He was in my presence. He didn't know that I was in the crowd. But I knew that He was in the presence. Now listen, God is omnipresent. He knows you in the house. And if you reached up and touched Him this morning, He knows that you're here. Now I ask you to put a demand on the anointing of God. Not on my anointing, but on His anointing that supersedes anything that has to do with me. Jesus gave credit to her faith. Your faith did this. Your faith has brought an end to your suffering. Your faith has brought an end to your pain, to your anxiety, to your poverty, to your humiliation, to your isolation, your faith. My power was available, but your faith put a demand on it. If we truly believe that God is in this building, I believe, therefore I speak. If I truly believe He's here, then I truly believe that I should touch Him for my need. Anybody in the house know what I'm talking about? His power is always available, but does your faith make a demand on it? Does your faith make a demand upon it? We make a demand on people, but do you make a demand for the anointing? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope. Can I tell you that our faith is every bit as good as her faith? Well, she had more faith. How could she have too much more faith? Because she didn't even know Him. She just heard about him. We have the ability to know us. Pastor Bruce said something Wednesday night that I've said for years. And that is, it's easy for me to have faith for you because I don't know you the way that I know me. And that's what the problem with most of us is, we know us. And then we start checking off the list. Well, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Do you know Jesus? And will you place a demand on the anointing? Would you stand to your feet in this place today? Spirit Life team, I want you to come. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that you put a demand on God and you can get touched right there in your seat. But there's just something about when you make the decision that I'm going to step out, I'm going to risk looking like a fool. I'm going to risk everybody seeing me. I'm going to risk because I believe and I'm placing a demand on His anointing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if you're in this place, the first thing that you need to do is reach out and touch Him for the blood to cleanse you and make you whole. If you don't know Jesus, I promise you I won't embarrass you.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.